Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
So I want to share with you about and finish what we talked about last night on Christmas Eve, and we're going to finish it here on Christmas Day, because I began to talk to you about the end of fear, that the arrival of Jesus and the gospel is the end of fear. You know where fear began? And then at the end of this, by the way, that's what we're going to pray together, okay? And we're going to worship and we're going to pray for a moment at the end for your miracle. But here's what's going to prepare you for that. The arrival of Jesus is the end of fear. It is the utter destruction of Satan's reign over mankind. The arrival of Jesus is the utter destruction of Satan's dominion over mankind, over you and over me. Where did fear come from? Genesis 3, verse 8 says, "And they," after Adam and Eve sinned, it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God said and called to Adam and said, 'Where are you?'" Verse 10, so he said, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid." I was afraid. There's no mention of fear prior to this moment. There is no fear prior to this moment. But now Adam knows what fear is. He said, "I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." The first catastrophe of Satan's corruption that invaded mankind in the Garden of Eden was fear. The first enemy of man's soul was fear. But the arrival of Jesus and the gospel is the end of fear. Think about it. The first mention of fear is right after Adam and Eve believed a lie and ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That was where the first fear came into this world. But then notice how Jesus is the answer for that. And let me quote to you each manifestation or each arrival of an angel coming to herald the news of Jesus being born. Luke 1:11, "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him," notice the first thing, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, your prayer has been heard." The first thing he said was, "Do not be afraid." Why? Because that was the first thing Satan brought. And now that Jesus is coming, fear is the first thing that leaves. Fear is the root of all other things. And today is the end of fear for you. Then in Luke chapter 1, verse 28, "And having come in, the angel said to Mary, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' And when she saw him, she was troubled and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her in verse 30, 'Do not be afraid, Mary.'" There it is again. "Do not be afraid, for you found favor with God. You'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Let's see about Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.'" Notice each time the mention of Jesus coming to this earth, each time the mention of Jesus arriving in this earth, each time it's all about first, fear ends, fear ends, fear ends. The gospel is fear not anymore. "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Luke chapter 2, verse 8, what about the shepherds? "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid," greatly afraid. "Then the angel said to them," what's the first thing? "Do not be afraid. Why? For I bring you good news of great joy, which is for all the people." Oh, I love that he says it will be for all the people. So in these passages, each time, "Do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid." To everyone, he said, "Do not be afraid." And in these passages, we find at least seven promises that deliver us from fear. I shared with you the first three last night on Christmas Eve. The first one was, when we pray, God hears. The second one was, God's timing is not our timing. But rest in this truth. His words have their own timetable. We trust, he times. He times, we trust. The third thing was God is working even when we fail. I loved that point. God is working even when we fail. That's why fear will end. He will bring his word to pass even when we doubt. God will still bring his word to pass. Even when we're faithless, he remains faithful. And then the fourth thing is listed here in Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Notice what the angel says to Mary. He says, you have found favor with God. You have found, don't be afraid. Why? Because you found favor with God. What delivers you from fear? Knowing that you have favor with God. And the Bible says in Psalm chapter 5, verse 12, God surrounds the righteous with favor as a shield. And when you're born again, you're the righteousness of God. So guess what? He surrounds you with favor, like a shield all around you. Favor protects you. Favor defends you. Favor goes before you. Favor causes you to be able to advance and move forward in life. And all of that comes because of Jesus. And fear ends when you know you have favor. You have favor with God. You're his favorite child. You're the apple of his eye, the Bible says. Yeah, you. Yes, you. And you and you and you. Yes, you are God's favorite. You have favor with God because you belong to Christ. You have favor with God because you were his idea. You have favor with God because he created you. You have favor with God because he picked you, chose you. Maybe nobody else chose you. God chose you. Maybe no team and when you were in school chose you, but God chose you. Maybe nobody chose you to get that particular job you hoped for, but God chose you and he's got something better for you. You have favor. Favor delivers us from fear. The fifth thing, the fifth promise that delivers us from fear is found in verse 31 of the same verse in Luke chapter 1. Verse 30, he says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. What is this fifth thing that delivers us from fear? Well, it's very simple. It is the promise that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is going to be born. Perfect love is going to be born. And perfect love casts out fear. This great news that delivers us from fear is that Jesus is coming. And I got news for you. When he said, the angel said, Gabriel said he's coming, guess what? He came. And Jesus himself said he's coming again. And guess what? He will return. And the Bible says when he returns, will he find faith in the earth? You see, all God's looking for is for you to trust him. He does all the work. We simply do the trusting. This delivers us from fear knowing that he came. He promised throughout the Bible, prophecy after prophecy, that Jesus was going to come. We already read it in Isaiah chapter 9, in Isaiah chapter 7, and in the book of Micah, and several other places where it talks about a virgin giving birth to a child, that he would be the Son of God, that he would be the Son, that he would be born, that he would come and destroy the seed of the devil and the serpent. And it's exactly what Jesus did. He did everything God prophesied through the old prophets that Jesus would do. He did it. He carries his word and fulfills it every time. He's not about to stop fulfilling his word because of you. He's not going to stop fulfilling his word because of me. He's going to fulfill his word because of Jesus. So there's nothing I can do to get in the way of God fulfilling his word. He's not all of a sudden changing his promise. Oh, you know what? You failed too many times. Sorry, I'm not keeping my promise to you. Sorry, you can get back up seven times, but if you fall the eighth time, sorry, just stay down. You're going down for good. God's not like that. You're not going to cause God to break his promise. He's not keeping his promise because of you, and he's not breaking his promise because of you. That's good news. That delivers me from fear. I know he said he was coming and he came, and I know he said he's coming again and he is coming again, and I got my eyes fixed on that. How about you? Oh, it's so simple what God has given us to do. It's the simplicity of Christianity is read it, believe it, and expect it because Jesus is going to do it. Amen. Perfect love casts out fear, and Jesus is perfect love. Perfect love is Jesus, God wrapped up in human flesh. Perfect love goes to any length to save and any depth to reach. Think about that. He will go to any length to save. He will plunge down to any depth to deliver, to rescue, to reach. Perfect love calls the prisoner his brother. Perfect love redeems him, sets him free. Perfect love is complete. It's all-consuming. It leaves no trace of doubt. You know, man's love leaves a trace of doubt. Boy, how many of us know? People have made us promises and they've broken them. We've made promises and we've broken them. But God never breaks a promise that he made. He's watching over his word to perform it. That's perfect love. Perfect love has a perfect record. Perfect love doesn't change how he feels towards you. It's not, he doesn't attach his emotions to your bad days. He doesn't attach his emotions to your good days. He attaches his emotions to his promises. I think that's a good place for us to attach our emotions this year, next year, every day of our lives to his promises. No fears can stand up to perfect love. How people treat you, the loss of a job, how you'll pay your bills, whether your family will be healthy or safe, none of those things can stand up to perfect love, but perfect love can fix those things. Trust in his perfect love today. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, number 6, and then we'll have the 7th and we'll pray. The angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people." Now, this promise is this: you are not going to be left out. He said it's going to be good news of great joy for all the people. Hey, that includes you. That includes me. All the people means all the people. All the people means the good people, the bad people, all the people. This is good news for anybody who will believe it. This is good news for anybody who will receive it. This is good news for anybody who accepts it. It's for all the people. You don't have to live under the fear of missing out anymore. The fear of missing out. The idea that you're going to be left out. None of that is true. That is the devil. Well, you're going to be left out because look at your mistake. You're going to be left out because look at your past. You're going to be left out because you haven't done enough. All those are lies from the devil. It says this is good news, bringing great joy for all the people. Nobody's going to be left out. You're never going to be left out. You are not an exception to God's love. You are not an exception to God's promise. You are the reason God loves. You are the reason God has given a promise. And so he is not going to leave you out. This promise, this Jesus, this beautiful Savior is for all the people. This is where equality comes. This is where inequality is destroyed. Inequality is defeated. All prejudice is defeated. All prejudice is destroyed. Right here, when Jesus comes for all the people, he doesn't come for this person first and then that group and then this group. All the people is all the people. We're all equal. We're equally sinners, but we're equally saved by his grace. If we just receive freely, he gives. Freely receive. I love this. No one is going to be left out. You are not going to be left out. And then he goes on to say, Joseph, son of David, he says in Matthew, the angel says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Wow, I love this word about the Holy Spirit. I'd like to say this. This seventh promise that liberates you from fear is the promise that the Holy Spirit is working in you. The Holy Spirit is working in you. He said, don't be afraid, Joseph. Why? Because what has been conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. Whew. I love this thought that the Holy Spirit's at work in me, so I don't have to be afraid. The Holy Spirit's at work in you, so you don't have to be afraid. The Holy Spirit's going to finish what he started in your life. The Holy Spirit is real. When Jesus came to this earth, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. But when he left, he said, by the way, I'm going back to heaven after he rose from the dead. I'm going back to heaven, and I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And he'll be with you forever. Wow. As we get ready to pray for your miracle, and we talk about the Holy Spirit, I want you to know that miracles always go with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes with the miracles, or the Holy Spirit is the source of the miracles. And so I want you to see this verse in Galatians chapter 3, verse 5, and then we'll take a moment and worship him for one more moment, and then we'll pray together. Oh, this is your day. This is your Merry Christmas. I'm telling you right now, get ready to receive. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Notice what Paul says. He said, does he who provides you with the Holy Spirit and works miracles among you, notice how these two things go together. This person and these things, right? It's a rhetorical question when he asks it, but it's, does he who provides you with the Holy Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Well, we know the answer is he provides his Holy Spirit simply by us hearing and believing, and he provides miracles simply by us hearing and believing. I want to read this verse to you in the Berean Bible, in this version. Does God lavish his Spirit on you? Wow. Does God lavish his Spirit on you and work miracles among you because you practice the law or because you hear and you believe? Does God lavish his Spirit on you and work miracles among you because you practice the law or because you hear and believe? It's because you hear and believe. Look, listen to this verse in the Passion Bible. Let me ask you again, what does the lavish supply of the Holy Spirit in your life and the miracles of God's tremendous power have to do with you keeping religious laws? The Holy Spirit is poured out upon us through the revelation and power of faith, not by keeping the law. And one more translation in the Message. Does the God, you weren't expecting less than four translations of this from me, were you? Look at what he says in the Message. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourselves? That's a miracle. That he will work in you something you could never do for yourself. Does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust him? Whew. And trust him to do them in you. Well, I believe I'm going with the Word of God. How about you? So get ready for your miracle. Come on, would you just take a moment right now and just thank him right now. Let's thank him for these seven things. Thank him right now. Say, Heavenly Father. In fact, let's do that. Let's go ahead and say that. Say this right now out loud with me. Heavenly Father, I believe When I pray, you hear me. I believe that you will fulfill your promise in your time. I believe you're working in my life even when I fail. I believe that I have found favor with you in Christ. I'm your favorite because you love me. I believe Jesus came and is coming again. And I expect him and I look forward to his return. Jesus is perfect love, and perfect love, say that, perfect love casts out fear. Say, I believe that I'm not going to be left out because this promise is for all people. And I believe, say this out loud, and I believe the Holy Spirit is at work in me and works miracles among us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you, perhaps everybody hopefully prayed that prayer, but maybe you prayed that prayer for the first time. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you let me know, because just by inviting Jesus into your life with those few words, he's your Savior, he's your Lord now. He's risen from the dead. Let us know so we can bless you with a special gift. But we're going to take a moment now and we're going to worship Jesus and pray for your miracle. Take this moment. Lift your hands right where you are.
Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, sing it again. Oh, come.
Adore him because he first adored us, and because of his perfect love, it's the end of fear and the beginning of your greatest days and your miracle days. Grace, pray for everybody connected to us right now, and let's believe for their miracle. Whatever it is, this is your day.
Father, I thank you right now for each person watching. You know where they are. You see them right now, right in their home, in their wherever they are. I thank you. You see them. They are not forgotten by you. I thank you, Lord, that you are great and you are good and you know the plans you have for them. And we just declare that what the enemy has meant for evil, you are turning around for good right now. I declare healing power, healing virtue flowing through your body right now in Jesus' name. I just release the power of God into your home, into your heart, into your situation, into whatever is broken in your life. Jesus is our healer. He came for you. He came to heal you. Now, Father, I thank you that your presence is filling that place right now. You're filling each person. You're filling our hearts. You're filling our bodies. You're filling us up right now with your love, with your love, with your love. You never change your mind. You'll never change your mind. You've already sent Jesus, and he did it perfectly on the cross. And we receive all that he accomplished right now into our lives. And I declare you are whole. I declare you are healed and you are free. No more punishment, no more condemnation, no more fear in Jesus' name. Amen.
And we agree with you for your miracle in any area of your life that you're believing for. It's done in Jesus' name. Don't be afraid. God is here. His presence is here. He's with you, and he's Emmanuel, God with us. Let's stay connected. We love you. Merry Christmas. Have the greatest day of your life. God bless.